Chad, what's up, my man? What is going on? I don't know if you can jump on in here, but I'm going to give you the mic. No pressure. I know you're always busy. It's been a long time, my friend. A long time. What's up, Odie? Guys, we just got started. Forgive me. I'm in my car driving back to the beach house. I just dropped off my wife. Hopefully, you guys can hear me all right. Give me a thumbs up if you guys can hear me all right, Chad. I just need to know. We're going back to the house. The wife's got to go back to see some patients. But we're staying, and she's going to be flying back on Thursday. Cool. You guys can hear me. Awesome. Well, we got a lot of stuff that we can talk about today. Get Odie up here. Working, you can't talk. Oh, but it feels like good times, Chad. Good evening, man. How's your day going? Day, afternoon, I guess. Night?
It's evening, yeah.
Yeah.
What's good?
A lot of stuff is good. A lot of stuff is, as Peter Griffin would say in Family Guy, grinding my gears. And so hopefully we can get a few people up here to chat. I know I got my opinions about a couple of things that I just recently saw get posted on crypto Twitter, but I'll get to that in a little bit when more and more people start flowing in here. We're supposed to have Joe in here. What's up, Saber? Ooh, Miss Saber, if she's got a minute as well. No, guys, I want this, especially today is a day that I want to pick people's brains. So I'm going to be handing out mics left and right because I really, truly, honestly do want to hear from everybody about a couple of topics that I want to bring up today. First and foremost, a little heads up, just signed papers on a penthouse condominium in Nashville. Hopefully everything goes smoothly and we close on this some bitch in about 1 month. So yeah, happy, nervous about that. What's up, Joe? What's up, Saber?
What's up, man? I'm just screwing with some video editing software. I'm really bad at it, so it's taking forever.
Well, apparently we all need to get much better at our editing skills so our content creation can be worth more. I got so much shit to say. Good God. Saber.
You know, Cito, I DM'd Cito a while back, and he suggested a specific person edit my videos. And when I reached out to that person, they were going to charge me $400 for a 20-minute video.
Holy shit. Will you tell me who it is or no?
I could go back through my DMs, but, it was like a legitimate video editing person or company.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, I know Cito is doing all right for himself.
Yeah, if you're spending $400 for a 20-minute video, Jesus, man. I mean, I get it, though, right? When you're a big wig, when you got money to throw at the wind, hey, it's all good. What's up, Crypto Dungeon?
Hey, Tank, what's up?
Not much, man. We're gonna Peter Griffin this bitch and grind some gears in just a little bit. I'm glad to see everybody here this afternoon. Saber, I don't want to skip you though. Saber, how's your afternoon going?
I'm actually like making some pizza.
Nice. I want pizza. I just had pizza last night. I can't have pizza again. Damn it. Can I have pizza again? Maybe I can't have pizza again.
Scratch. I up, so I need to like make some donair pizza too. Or I can to just like not throw shit out, I guess.
I love making pizza, but I can't really eat pizza anymore because I think I have a gluten sensitivity. I'm going to the doctor in a couple weeks.
Yo, my wife just found this like super low gluten
sensitivities.
It's like a super low gluten wheat that's like thousands of years old, and they thought it was extinct, but they like found it and brought it back. And we actually just made pizza out of it. It's pretty good.
Wait, interesting. What? Interesting. I used to buy my dough just from the local. I live like, I don't want to say walking distance, but like within a 5 to 7 minute drive of probably the best pizza that exists. One of the pizza places by my house, like where I grew up, it was a couple minutes away. Vice did a documentary on them. Like it's really good. I used to get my dough from there, and I just can't eat it. Like if I have pizza or bagels or bread or pasta like too many days in a row, I'm like screwed up for like 2 weeks. Like feels like my stomach is like swollen. It's crazy.
Good God, dude. I don't know what I would do. I know bread is like not the best thing in the world, but I love me some fucking bread. I'm so glad I'm so tainted. Like, oh my God, I don't know what I'd be able to do if I had an allergy like that. I'm serious. Kid knows. Kid knows all this fitness shit that I did in the past, man. I don't know. I love me some pizza, though. Yeah, okay. Let's just kick this off. I was going to do a live stream, but I was like, oh, I just want to, you know what? I want to drink. I'm, you know, a little off put and stuff like that. I want to be awkward by the live stream. Let's just do a space. I want to bring up, and I want to see what everybody's opinion is. Did you guys just recently see Atom Accelerator's recent post about the funding rounds that they just approved? Show of hands. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
I only saw that they funded CETO. I didn't see what the other ones were, but the amount was like, what, $700,000, something like that?
For the overall funding round, Overall.
I mean, CETO got the minimum grant, which is 10,000, right?
Well, 10,000 a month for 4 months. So
got it. Okay.
Apparently one of the ones that I wanted to touch base about is obviously the CETO one. I just wanted to, you know, Hey, I'm all good. I don't really actually need it. So like, I'm happy for a content creator to get funding. I will say, and Joe knows this, anybody that's done that game knows that like, it's a hard knock life to make any kind of living, if that's even a thing in social media. So like, you know, hey, the cookie was there. I'm glad you got the cookie. But I do want to hear everybody's opinion about the recent post that he put out there, and then the overall funding that the Atom Accelerator, AADAO has recently gone through, and like the reasonings behind them. I don't know if you guys remember, but recently CETO, I think it was like a month, maybe 2 months ago, couldn't have been that long, but recently just put out a tweet. It was a thread tweet basically saying how he was going to be pulling back from making content about the Cosmos ecosystem. And then if he did make content about the Cosmos ecosystem, it would be of a more structured kind of debate, PvP sort of platform-based kind of thing. So it's kind of funny to see that happen. And then all of a sudden see community pool funds, which is how the Atom Accelerator has gotten their funding to do what they're doing, be used to pay him for things that he was already doing and said he wasn't going to be doing. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I have an unpopular opinion. I'll let someone else go first.
Anybody, please. I want everybody to chime in. You guys are, if you guys are Cosmos, especially Atom Stakers, you guys should have a saying of the, like, is this a spend from the Atom Accelerator that is going to bring you back a yield, bring you back some kind of return, bring back price positivity for the Atom token long-term? Did you think that this was good?
Yes.
You thought it was good? A $40,000 spend, $10,000 a month.
They could do a whole lot worse. And
No. Not. I don't want people to answer it. They could do worse or it, you know, whatever. Was it worth the spend?
None of the spends that any grants program has ever paid out is worth the money. If it was, the free market would have paid that already. So I will say no. That's why there are grants programs. They're spreading risk and liability to the masses, because there's no individual entity willing to take on that risk or liability. So no, the grants programs exist because there are no investors willing to put up the funds to make sure that a dev makes $300,000 a year to sit in a condo on an island and work 2 hours a day. There's no one like that. So hence grants programs, or thus grants programs, I should say. That's it. Grants programs, put it this way. Whenever a grants program is created, the people sitting on that grants program are getting paid a salary to spend all of that money. Every single penny that the Accelerator DAO is overseeing will get spent. And that's just how it is.
I agree with you. I agree with just about everything that you just said right there. Crypto Dungeon.
Can I just chime in one thing about Sito in particular? Yeah. Crypto Sito, you could say what you want. Obviously, he's been paid before and hasn't disclosed pump prices and all that. He is extremely consistent on his stance about content creators getting paid from community pools. He pushed for Cosmic Validator. He's made generic tweets about how creating content needs to get reimbursed somehow. And the guy does have the biggest following. He does put out a good amount of content. It's seen as very good quality. I don't find it entertaining enough, so I don't watch a lot of his content. I also don't like price predictions and things like that.
Do you find it educational enough?
No. His content is not educational.
I want to say this as well. Like, you guys just heard, like, hey, you know, I guess I take the stance as like, I don't hate the player. I'm kind of hating the game a little bit. And it's like, I don't even know if I hate the game. I'm looking at this purely as an Atom staker, and in regards to the Atom Accelerator DAO, and more than I'm looking at it as like, oh, crypto or crypto Sito. And like I said earlier, like, hey, I'm glad, whatever. Content creator, you got the cookie. I'm glad you're eating. Like, somebody's got to eat, right? And I will say, like Joe's saying, Obvious choice, right? Like, you have the biggest following for especially the Cosmos. You're the reason why Cosmoverse is what it is. There's some things to it, but I can't get past the fuck all freaking slush fund bullshit like that is happening with community pool funds. I'm so sick and tired of it, because right now, like, if I'm being honest with myself, I don't see at all how spending $10,000 on Crypto Sito or his whole team to put out content in the way that he's already done so thus far is going to bring in any more people that are new liquidity to our ecosystem, thus pumping the Atom token price. Like, to me, And especially, I guess I should also say, especially having dealt with the AA DAO and knowing the questions and kind of the criticisms that I received in requests, not even similar requests, but like in their thought process, in their vetting and stuff like that. Like, I just can't help but think, like, okay, what was the metrics? What was the growth?
You have a point there. So for people that don't know, you know, Tank applied for a $30,000 grant to help get NFT Nashville off the ground. I didn't see the application, but I did see the criticisms come back from the Accelerator DAO, and they gave us reasons why the grant was denied. And what they want to see is they want metrics and evidence that the grant will lead to, you know, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of new users.
It was 10,000 specifically. Yes. They said, what?
Not only coming into the ecosystem, but to the hub specifically. And I know I'm going to contradict myself that I said Sito has the biggest following. That's true. But there is no way in the next year or 6 months or year that 10,000 new people are going to watch a video of a content creator who doesn't put out content every day on a very small ecosystem and specifically, you know, be turned on to the Cosmos hub, which doesn't have any applications on it. So that's a little bit unrealistic. If those were the same metrics that they used against us, you know, that's their prerogative. The community voted for that. The community is not really overseeing it. These guys have carte blanche to give out grants to whoever they want. We've seen a bunch of grants go to dead projects or to projects that would have done the exact same thing for free. But in this case, I think that what they really should have done is, long before the Accelerator DAO was formed, something like the Media DAO that Omniflix is setting up, they should have gone to the community pool for like a six-figure grant to build that out using Omniflix's tech, right? Remember, you were part of that as well, but it seems like it's more of a side project that Sisla is doing in his free time, which is fine. It's not really getting off the ground because there's no urgency, but Omniflix probably could, for cheaper, not only highlight the tech of Omniflix, but bring in a bunch of I should say motivate a bunch of content creators to focus on the hub, which obviously if you and I were getting paid to do, we would all of a sudden shift gears and say, okay, look, we're getting paid $1,000 a month. We have to make 5 videos a month or 10 videos a month.
$10,000 a month.
Okay. But he's going to get the most because he has the biggest following. But if it was me, I would not ask for $10,000 a month. Obviously, I would ask for like a tenth of that, right? So I don't know, man. They have to do something. I mean, you know who's part of the Accelerator DAO. They seem very out of touch based on our conversations with them. Nothing personal against those guys, but they probably are out of touch to a large extent. They're managing money that has absolutely no reasonable oversight. They're not accountable for what happens.
Because I agree with everybody. But on that point right there, like what you're trying to get at, I think we always brush over this. And guys, after this, I say this, I do want to get everybody else's thoughts as well. I don't want this to be too old, like boomer content creators making.
Tiger going to argue over the Accelerator DAO again, and everyone has to listen.
Well, no. I do want to make a, like, I notice whenever this comes up with the AA DAO, everybody kind of just goes, oh, you know, it's just what it is. And, you know, they're going to spend it. Didn't, and correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't we put in there, or wasn't it our understanding that if we thought that this, if they were unfit and we were seeing them make bad, poor decisions, couldn't we stop them? Wasn't that like the whole pitch? Like, oh, no. You know, if the community is not in favor of us and we're not doing our thing.
I was told specifically that individual members could not be removed. The only way would be for a new governance proposal to go through that would eliminate the entire program and claw back the funds. I have this in writing from the Accelerator DAO because that's one of the reasons why I voted against it, because it's not a DAO. It's a group of friends who became friends while they were back channeling to get Atom 2.0 passed. This was told to us by a member, and which is fine. I think the amount of money that they're managing is small, right? They only got $7 million. They're spreading it out to like 40, 50 grants. Great. But in the end, it's not a DAO. You can't remove members. You can't add members. It was a big problem when we were asking the questions about the individual makeup of the program, which makes me think they were handpicked by someone who's not on the grants program to specifically serve a purpose. And yeah, maybe they'll send out a bunch of good grants. Maybe they won't. But in the end, who cares? They're getting paid a salary to spend all that money. It's going to get spent, and we're not going to like a lot of it. And that's why I haven't paid much attention to it, because I don't want to have to micromanage like the grants that are going out when I don't even have complete information because they refuse to release the applications.
Hmm. Has there been any? Well. I want to say there has been, and I want to give them the benefit of that. Has there been any grant approvals thus far that you were like, just no questions asked, was totally worth it? It was no brainer. Good for Atom.
I think for the amount of money, the CETO one is not that bad. It's $40,000. It's a drop in the bucket. It's way less than what they gave Cosmos Millions. There's nothing really to compare this to, and in a bear market, every grant is going to have less of an impact if the goal is to onboard people to the hub, which, like I said, has absolutely no applications built on it. Half of the world is geo-blocked from Neutron, right? So I should say half of the world, half of the capital in the world is geo-blocked from Neutron. It's unclear.
Yeah, I don't think it's bad, but like I think we always look at it in the wrong light. Like because I got to look at it as every decision made by them is supposed to benefit long-term the Atom token and the Atom holder, stakeholder, whatever you want to call them, like price go up narrative, right? When I look at spending on somebody's platform that has pretty much probably capped out and reaching who they're going to reach as far as being interested in the Cosmos ecosystem, like
is it worth it? I would say, well, it's not a, you know, big, humongous lump sum. Like, I'm not like dickhead about it or nothing like that. Is it a good investment? Probably not. Like, you know, just honestly, probably not. Like, I'm not, we're probably not going to get a big, hell, even look at Sito's recent videos. How many numbers? I know crypto is all down. Like, the content creators and viewerships, it's all down everywhere. But like, just look at the engagement, the amount, like, is that really going to bring in the next 10,000 or liquidity? Like, I don't think so.
My only problem with funding content creators is that you don't have the data, the true data of who's watching the channel, unless that specific content creator chooses to share it. And
yeah.
And because like, I've had videos get a whole bunch of views, but then when I look at the actual data, like 60% of them don't even watch beyond 30 seconds.
And I've had other people to do it too.
Yeah, you get a lot of people that click accidentally because it's just like suggested by YouTube or something. They click on it, they see your face, they hear your voice, they click out of it. Then you have videos that not that many people watch. Like the videos with me and Don, not that many people watch them, but the people that do watch them watch it for a really long time. So
all the way through, yeah.
Like more people watch, like, you know, if me and Don make a 90-minute video, people watch that video longer than the entire length of a Sito video. It's a much smaller scale, but the data for views is really not useful at all. So it's hard to tell. And subscribers is not useful either, because if you've had a YouTube channel for 3 or 4 years, most of your subs are probably from the first year or two when there was a bull market, and they might not even be around anymore. So you don't know.
But that goes into my point, right? Like, 'cause like, again, I can only pull from the experiences that I've had in the past, and then everything else is just subjective hearsay, and my opinion is, which is bullshit, right? But like, I know the questions that I was asked when a request was given to the AA DAO, and that was like metrics, like tangible, like real measures on like on stuff that's retainable and scalable. And I just, knowing everything you just said, like, how the fuck, in my mind, I'm going, well, whoever pitched this, whether it was Sito, one of his team members, how did they answer that? And how did they go, oh yeah, if you give us 10,000 a month for 4 months, I know that we can create this much new wallets with new liquidity coming into the Cosmos ecosystem, thus hopefully potentially benefiting the Atom token or the Cosmos.
Yeah,
token.
Yeah. No,
like,
no,
you know, there's no right. way you could answer that. Like you're saying, there's no fucking way that you could answer
even
that.
If you could, even if you could, like, you could connect some dots with like data that you've had in the past, there's probably nobody on that accelerator DAO team that's going to actually follow up, because the program ends in like 3 months or 4 months. So all of this money, the minute it was moved from the community pool into the accelerator DAO wallet, in my mind, I said that money's spent, and either I unbond all my Atom because I don't want to deal with the sell pressure and I want to see what happens with this, or I have to keep staking my Atom. And by staking your Atom, whether you voted for the proposal or not, whether you like the community pool spending or not, you are supporting the program because you're the one that's going to deal with the downward pressure as these grants are spent. And a lot of them, I don't think all of them have to return value to the hub. A few of them should, you know, maybe 1 out of 5 would be like a home run, but this is not something we would ever be able to measure from the beginning. And that's why I voted no for the prop. I thought it was written really badly. There was so much gray area that looked purposely, you know, it looked like the wording was purposely chosen to create gray area. There's lots of room for abuse. There's lots of conflict of interest that can happen. We already see that. And, you know, it's one of those things. You vote, the community can provide oversight by either choosing to unbond and leave the network completely, or continue to stake, and by staking, you're supporting everything that happens on the network, unfortunately.
Yeah. I want Soy to go in just a second. Soy, remind me, though, because I don't know if this is, when they're done, when the 3 months is up, does any remaining funds, like, let's just say they don't actually spend everything, does any of the remaining funds, whether they convert it into stables or whatever, does that get returned back to the community pool? If you have that answer, or anybody, please answer that. But Soy, go ahead.
I'm not 100% sure, to be honest, what happens with it.
It goes back to the community pool, or it rolls over into the next grants program with different people in charge of it. That's what I understand.
That sounds reasonable. But yeah, I'm not 100% sure. To be honest with you, I think like you can like not really doing justice to just how bad a proposal this is, or just how bad a grant this is. Because it's not 40,000, you know, like you've been saying, if we could possibly work out, you know, what the quantifiable value was of that grant, you know, the likelihood is it wouldn't be anywhere near 40K. But 40K is just the start of it. You know, what's the price impact of that 40K? How many atom did they actually have to ditch to get that 40K to put in Sito's hand? So it's actually way more than is sort of the headline figure of 40K. Then you've got the cost of like running the actual grants program. So what's the cost of actually deploying that capital? And then you've got the cost of like, you know, okay, it's impossible to sort of quantify how many users, but let's think about it in terms of like transaction fees. You know, how many transaction fees adds up to $40,000? You know, that's basically the sort of the metric that we need to be looking at over the longer term of how that thing returns value to the hub, right? And then the final point, Joe, just give me a second. The final point is, what's the cost in terms of people who leave because we're making these bullshit grants like this? You know, there's so many sort of really indirect, unquantifiable elements they spend. And so you're probably actually looking at somewhere in the region of, I don't know, pie in the sky figures. Let's say 80K, 100K in terms of what it's actually costing overall in terms of all the sort of external costs. And it's got to stop. It's got to stop because it's just really depressing, frankly.
Didn't you vote yes for the Accelerator DAO and you thought they should have had more money to manage, right?
Oh, yeah. That was what I was shouting for. Mate, I was arguing with Yusuf to start with, like, you know, they've always had this sort of attitude of we've got to spend something because like overspending is better than not spending. It's like complete fool's economics. And I completely disagree with the way that they go about it.
Yeah, no, I remember, I think the first time I talked to you was on like one of those like early morning spaces where we were talking to some of the people that were on the oversight committee or the grants team or whatever. But yeah, I mean, again, I voted yes for Atom 2.0 because I liked the idea that, hey, we're going to actually do something with the hub. There's going to be like this investment arm and they're going to have a massive grants program and all that. But then once I heard the conversation and like the individuals speaking who are in charge of this, and I was just like, these people really don't know anything. And the proposal's written really badly. There's no way there's not going to be some abuse here and the conflict of interest and all that. I was like, they're just going to give grants to their friends like that. And that's ultimately why I voted no. The other thing, maybe this is unrealistic, but you know, crypto is so whale driven, you know, everyone on this space right now, like, it's possible that all of our portfolios are not going to add up to like one transaction that happens in an hour from now from one whale, right? But it's not enough, like what Soy said, you know, we spend $40,000 on this one grant, and let's say somebody watches a Sito video and they're a whale and they say, oh, I'm going to buy $40,000 worth of Atom and stake it. I still don't think that offsets the spend. I really don't.
That doesn't come even close to offsetting the spend. That 40K, yeah. He spends like maybe half a cent to move it and stake it somewhere.
Right. But here's the other thing, and I don't know. Tank, I don't know if you wanted this to be a negative space or if we're really going to chat and chill, but
this is chat and chill. is a negative. We're just having feedback. This is a constructive conversation, man.
This is just how everyone here, so I'm transparent about my position in the ecosystem. I think that the Cosmos ecosystem should be able to annihilate other ecosystems competitively. But I think that the community pools are still one by one combined with the inflation, because we run the ecosystem at such an unsustainable expense and there's no revenue coming into really any of the chains. So me personally, I unbonded and sold off all of my Juno, all of my Stars, all of my Osmo, all of my Evmos, all these tokens, and about 50% of my Atom. And my thinking is, for the next 6 months, regardless of what the rest of the market is doing, we're guaranteed sell pressure, and we're not guaranteed any adoption of sustainable tokenomics I think osmosis is a black swan waiting to happen for the whole ecosystem. The hub community pool is really the only money in the ecosystem that can be spent. We're seeing people aggressively go for grants because it's much easier than passing governance, right? It seems to be much easier anyway. We're seeing people from Juno who absolutely demolished that network go to the hub community, the hub grants program for grants to fund their bullshit projects and their bullshit bloated teams. So the tech is so good, but I think the community pools have just attracted the most aggressive, incompetent grifters overall. I don't know what else to say, but that's where I'm at with Cosmos. And so when you hear me speak or tweet, whatever, I've unloaded more than half my Cosmos assets, and I'm in like wait and see mode for the ecosystem. And then eventually there'll be a point where I start to dollar cost average back into one or two tokens, probably Atom, probably not Osmo or Juno or Stars, but you know, like that's where I'm at. And that's where I'm coming from when I, when you hear me, you know, questioning the spends and talk about sell pressure and all that.
Appreciate that, Joe. I think that's fair, man. By the way, I had to actually ask for some co-hosts because we're getting a lot of requests to speak, and I definitely don't want to lose anybody in our long-winded rant sometimes that Joe and I can get into. So I know Homestead, Alice Network, and Saber, as well as Crypto Dungeon. If you guys have anything you want to add, please let us know. Because again, I'd actually like to get into that osmosis discussion as well. So
I really just wanted to say, Soy, that was like one of the best jokes I've heard in a week or two. Stake it. That was perfect, man. That was perfect.
Well, it's like I guess it's a comedy of errors, right? Or it's like you either laugh or you cry.
I missed the joke.
He said that Cito was gonna move it for 0.01 Atom and stake it.
No. Joe was saying that, you know, maybe like Cito can say, or not even, to be honest, it's not even about Cito. It's about the way that capital is allocated, if you're going to call it capital. The point that Joe was making is that, you know, potentially we could get someone who buys $40,000 worth of Atom or something, and that's like a value add to the hub, and maybe that breaks even. But actually, it's not really the case. You sort of, all right, maybe putting, you sort of reversing the price impact if you can get $40,000 worth of Atom bought on the back of these four videos. But then the actual sort of like transactional cost and the sort of the revenue side of things for the hub is about 0.5% if someone, you know, stakes that 40K. So, you know, happy to put a smile on your face, home pleb, but, it was,
my bad, man. I misunderstood. I thought you were saying like when Cito takes that 40K and then stakes it. My bad.
No. Obviously, well, he's not even. He's just sort of. He's getting it in USD or whatever, isn't he? So that's what I'm saying. Like one of the hidden costs of providing that 40K to Cito is the price impact that you actually put on Atom, in whatever way the sort of results in him getting 40K in his hand. So yeah. If someone was to sort of invest 40,000. Into Atom, then that reverses that, you know. But in terms of like revenue, you know, you're basically looking at needing to basically replace $40,000 with 0.5% transaction fees, and that's the sort of like the realistic, you know, way to gauge the value of that spend.
Saber, did you have anything you want to say about the conversation, or are you just making pizzas still?
I haven't really been following much in the Cosmos for quite a while. I have definitely strayed closer towards being like a mentality. And to me, like, it's like nothing looks really, all the negativity with. I also don't see how CryptoCito making videos is going to bring anybody in, because like there's nothing new. Like,
exactly.
Maybe Joe, I don't know how they're going to quantify like what is he going to different, like, you know how like Matic brought on a lot of, or sorry, Polygon brought a lot of Solana people over in the last like 6 months, but like, so how is CryptoCito doing anything like that? How is he bringing other web king pizzas until there's something else? Thanks.
You know, and I guess I kind of to kind of move it forward, and I promise Cito, this is recorded. If anybody listens to this later from whatever position that you're in, this isn't a bash everything. We're not all trying to be super bearish Cosmos and fuck all you guys kind of thing. I promise we're not trying to. We're like, we're literally trying to have a constructive conversation about the issues that are real and what the retail holders see and feel in our space. I do want to kind of like just take it a step forward, although when I say that, and talk about like the spends that Sito has already gotten from not only the, well, again, the Atom Accelerator DAO, but also even beyond that, right, with Cosmoverse. Like, look, I will say this, there is some nuances, there is some good benefits, there is some notoriety and some exposure that is really, really good for the Cosmos ecosystem when it comes to putting on events as large as the Cosmoverse and stuff like that. Like, I get that, right? But at the same time, I tell a story all the time, and it's so true, though. Like, you guys do understand that these conventions, Cosmoverse, is not meant for new retail. It's not meant to generate new wallets into the ecosystem. Yeah, that might be a byproduct of like throwing an event and like getting some exposure out there and marketing, blah, 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 blah. But that's not the real purpose. The real purpose, like I've said before, and if you guys don't know, it is for projects to meet other projects and or big money VC funds so that they can find funding for their project going forward. It's so they can pitch back and forth to each other and do what they do and do everything that we've been talking about for the past few months over and over again. And so we as community pool, like, you know, like if we're staking Atom, again, I'm just assuming a lot of you guys are, even if it's just one, you know, you guys should be concerned about that. Like, how is, again, putting on and facilitating those events really bringing more new liquidity, not slushing around existing liquidity and changing it between, you know, different pockets of DeFi or whatever they're making in the ecosystem? How are we actually justifying and measuring new wallets being made, new capital being brought into the ecosystem by, again, facilitating and funding events such as this? Like, I have a hard time sometimes going, okay, so we're going to Turkey. Like, show me the measures. Show me how much should we spend, Joe? Everybody else, how much should we did the Atom Accelerator DAO and even last year, right? Like, how much did they get for just from Atom entities?
You're not going to know until after the conference is over. But last year,
we might not even know after that. So.
Yeah, I mean, last year the community pool funding for Cosmoverse was like $800,000 US. I don't know how much was raised by selling booths and selling speaker slots and all that, tickets, whatever. But yeah, I mean, that's in a third world country, basically $800,000 for a conference. And it's just, you know, some people in the ecosystem have blank checks and it's not their money. So who cares, right? That's what I'm saying. If you're staking Atom, you are like a human shield for all the sell pressure that's coming. And that goes for any proof of stake token that has a community pool that's mismanaged or managed poorly or recklessly by, you know, the 10 or so validators that actually have a say.
That, you know, that's a great analogy, Alice. I'm sorry if I'm saying that wrong too, by the way. I want to get you next, but I just want to interject there. I get what you're saying. Like, we are the shield. Like, we just have to weather it. We have to batter down. We have to take it kind of thing. But I actually, like, I would say that I hope that people start morphing into more of a sword. Like, you guys as Atom stakers shouldn't be treating yourself and this ecosystem and facilitating and letting these fuckers just keep doing what they're doing. You should also be the sword that cuts the head off the snake when it happens, as you see it happening. Like, there's nothing wrong with doing that. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, fuck that shit. Why? Like, okay, we've gone through, what is this, Atom Cosmoverse 3? Like, do we think that this has been going very well so far? Like, I don't give a shit what other like devs say or event participants say, like, oh, this is the greatest events that Cosmos ever, it's the only fucking event. So like, what are you measuring that by? Like, yeah, you had fun with your friends. Like, what is the goal though? Is the goal to actually expand Cosmos, grow the TVL and the ecosystem, and then actually bring value to every token holder, not just Atom, but every token holder within our space? Because thus far, we can take a look throughout all of Cosmos, and you know, some of them have just launched, so you got to kind of give them a little bit of leeway. But the ones that have been around for 6 months to more than that, all of them are down. Is it really going well for us? Like, I know you can say, oh, it's the bear tank and all this stuff, but seriously, is it going well?
Everything's been exacerbated in this particular ecosystem because the community pools swelled when the chains launched early with that high inflation feeding the community pools, it's very expensive to run proof of stake networks, as we're finding out, where most of the validators are not profitable. They have to sell or just eat the costs, which is idiotic business practices. But I don't know. Why don't we let Elis, I hope I say it right, Elis Network jump in. Maybe they'll change the topic a little bit and we'll have some fun, because I know that's a new protocol coming. It's a DEX, I believe.
And please do tell us how to actually say it correctly, because I do feel bad every single time. But isn't it, and tell us, but isn't it something reborn from the fall of SIFTchain? But go ahead.
Thanks, Tank. It's Elis Network. So we're a community that started there, but we're a completely ground up project. So we do not have any ties to SIFTchain. So we are 100% starting from a fresh Cosmos SDK. So that's kind of our distinction there. We did have some community members come over there to help us build it. But this has been a really fantastic conversation. I think one of the things that I'm, kind of getting from this is that we're still pretty early on in understanding how governance plays a role, and we're going to make mistakes along the way. And I think that's okay, right? Because failure is part of the process. But what I really, really like is what I'm seeing on the developer side and on the partnership side, seeing things like Circle bringing USDC, Tether bringing USDT. I mean, those are fantastic strides for us. Those milestones are incredible. So, I mean, I think the future is really bright for us.
I agree that it still is early for governance. And I think maybe one of the reasons why governance gets so heated in Cosmos is because we're probably ahead of just about every other ecosystem in terms of on-chain governance. The only issue that I have with making mistakes is the same people are allowed to make many, many, many mistakes with other people's money. And there doesn't seem to be any kind of recourse for the community, except, like I said, you just unstake your tokens and move on if the values of that chain don't match your ideas for how the network should be run. For Atom stakers, you're getting roughly 1% per month to stake your tokens. Is it really worth the millions of dollars in sales that are going to hit from just the grants program alone? I don't know. If you're staking, you must think it's okay, right? And in the end, for 1% per month, it better be worth it. We see people jumping networks to make horrendous, governance, not only proposals, but just pushing for proposals that are clearly not going to benefit anyone except the people who receive the money. And they're everywhere. Same people. Like, Jake Hartnell is going to be getting a grant from Accelerator DAO for DAO. I thought DAO was going to be done in January of this year. That's what he told me on a recorded conversation, right? So
I have a question about that too. God damn it. I have so many questions. Osmosis, want to get into that? Remind me, Joe. And also, yeah, you're right. So like, wait a minute. Didn't Juno, the people that were staking Juno, also take a shareholder? Like, I get, what do you want to call this? Didn't we invest?
It was a bullshit. It was a new way to spend money from the community pools. That's what I'm saying. It's the same people. And for the next cycle, I'm going to make sure I avoid projects that have certain names associated with them, because there's no accountability when you're spending other people's money from a multi-sig wallet. Six people are able to spend the money of 100,000 individuals with no oversight, no recourse, and magically they end up getting some of that money somehow, some way. So you're referring to the token swap, I believe.
Yeah. Sorry. I want you to jump in, but I do.
Yeah.
How the token swap was. So the token swap happened. Do we own now then Atom, et cetera, DAO funded DAO? Or are we going to benefit any of those people that were staking at that time? Like,
no.
How the fuck does that work?
And for the record, I don't know if the DAO proposal actually was given a grant, but I know they were pursuing a grant.
No, they did. It was in the thread that I should actually find the original Atom Accelerator DAO, the spark of this whole conversation.
Right. So
share it up there.
But maybe that we have all these redundant products where one team can build them either for free or self-funded, but then a completely different team building the same thing more or less, or a competing product that's already in existence. They need a whole bunch of money that's not theirs to do it. The community doesn't get an equity position in the application they build. It's a donation. And that's how I think of the grants program. They're slapping money around, hoping that one grand slam out of 10 pays for it. I hope it does. but I'm not following the grants program that closely because I don't want to blow my fucking brains out one morning when I have that.
What we need is a grant to fund somebody to work out what the effect of grants is, basically, you know, how effective it is this spending. Because you can kind of, you can look at it really simplistically, like, if you look at it really simplistically.
Anybody but Rama. If you guys do that, anybody but Rama.
I'm just joking. No, mate, I'd happily chuck Rama some money because you know he's basically an independent guy. He's got no biases. He'll just call it as it is, you know, whether people like it or not. But you can, like I say, you can look at it really simplistically. You can go to last year's Cosmoverse and you can say, what was the price of Atom? And it was about $14. What was the price of Bitcoin? It was about $19,000. So like in the space of the time between one Cosmoverse to another, we spent like $800,000 and Atom's halved and Bitcoin's doubled, basically. So there's sort of a clue there in the first year, you know, the sort of the effect of a Cosmoverse or something like this, right? But
Just
give me a second. So
sure,
having said that, you know, I think Ellis makes some valid points. Like, so, you know, you can look at the ecosystem now and you can see things like WrapBTC, WrapStake ETH coming in, various different like new sort of DeFi applications that just did not exist like a year ago. So we have like the Nolises, the Amulets, you know, things like this. We can lend and borrow on Mars. We can do all this kind of stuff on UMI. And there are like good dApps, good projects in the ecosystem. And so like, you know, how much of that is attributable to a Cosmoverse? How much of that is attributable to various grants and marketing and Cosmos, whatever, videos and stuff? It's really difficult to sort of quantify. So like in the interest of clarity and actually giving us, you know, a basis to form decisions on, let's have a grant to work out, you know, how effective grants are.
Yeah. And Tank, if what you're saying is true, that Cosmoverse is really kind of a staging area to get VCs affiliated with projects and try to direct some money away from other ecosystems into Cosmos, then $800,000 sounds like a drop in the bucket, right? Like it sounds like nothing. Hell, give them triple that amount of money if it's going to bring some outside investment in, because over here, you know, the mantra has been, oh, no VCs, no centralized exchanges. We're doing this all from airdrops and inflation and whatever. I would like to see some outside investment.
When I do say that, and I do think there is probably some, I don't know the scale of the money there. But when I say that, I'm like literally talking about like the VCs that they're talking to is like Atom VCs, like the like Atom, et cetera, DAO. Like they're just looking for ways to talk to themselves. Like I would like to know which VCs were actually in attendance in the last two Cosmoverses. Like which big money was actually there. I really would like to know that.
I would like to know that as well, because I think that would be, for me, that would kind of make me think, okay, at least if there's some outside interest in the ecosystem, maybe I could trust some of this information coming out from founding teams that they're actually building something good, because you have professional risk takers coming in to put some skin in the game. VCs get a really bad rap in crypto. But, you know, I think that it would be better if all the risk wasn't on the stakers of the token and there was some outside funds coming in. I just don't understand what the VCs get out of it other than a bunch of tokens that really don't, they're not really equity positions like stocks would be. So I don't know how that is measured, but
I heard you say that a few times and I really do like that. Like that you've been saying that, like, I do think a lot of
nobody wants to hear that at all. No one wants to hear,
but you're absolutely right. Like people look at their tokens as they would a share, like, or as a stock, right? Like, and it's not. You don't get shit. You don't get anything near what a stock would give you or an option like in the traditional way at all by holding a token. So don't stop saying that. Even if people fucking hate it. That's, you're absolutely
people,
right.
People absolutely hate it. Absolutely hate it. But tokens are not stocks. All they are gas paying tokens that allow you to vote theoretically on proposals that a validator voting with other people's funds can negate your vote very easily, right? So yeah, you're on for a gambling journey when you buy layer one tokens. And maybe Bitcoin's a little different. Maybe Ethereum is a little bit different because Ethereum captures the value of block space on the network pretty well. It's not perfect, but yeah, people don't like to hear that. And when you hear the word being thrown around like investment and it involves tokens, my first reaction is this person doesn't know anything.
You want to hear a secret? Well, it's not a secret, but my honest opinion is I love proof of work more than I love proof of stake.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at proof of work right now, looking to balance out my portfolio. But Ellis, feel free to chime in, man.
Yeah, this is a really great point about, you know, whether you would object or what ownership actually represents. And the thing that we found to be kind of the most difficult for people who purchase the token is the fact that they watch the token get diluted over time. So maybe the market cap of the project stays the same, but the value of their token keeps dropping with inflation as more tokens get minted or sold off, et cetera. So these are the problems that I think chains that are in the testnet or startup phase right now are trying to tackle. It's one of the ones that was kind of the impetus for what, you know, how the founders of Alice Network came together, which is basically how do we actually maintain a token distribution that doesn't dilute the actual owners of the token? So you can actually treat them like equity holders, right? You can't do that from a legal perspective, but what you can do is protect the value of their token by not diluting it. So in other words, and I think everybody's going this direction, is non-inflationary, right? Make the system non-inflationary, kind of do what Ethereum eventually got to, where they're actually deflationary. And most importantly, use the actual system revenues to pay your stakers, right? So that's kind of the model we're following. We're gonna talk more about it in our spaces tomorrow. I don't mean to hog this part of the conversation, but basically that's the problem we're actually all trying to tackle, right? How do we actually take care of the people who actually are participating in the network? Because we owe it to them, right? That's the community. So I hope that that's what other teams are taking in mind. I hope that that's the approach that they take. We're maybe in the very early innings of this, but I really think that the projects now that are actually going out there trying to get funding from VCs and trying to get community support, this is going to be the thing that differentiates them when they say, here's our value proposition and here's our utility. Here's how we actually earn revenue for our stakers, for our liquidity providers, et cetera.
Yeah, I like that. Joe,
talking about revenue, this is Cosmos. It's good to hear that someone's thinking about it. And I think it is a good reminder that, yeah, this is kind of early as far as crypto is not, it's not early to be in crypto. It's not early to be messing with DeFi, but it is early in that there aren't a lot of successful business models to emulate and then try to tweak for your particular application. So I'm curious if Ellis Network doesn't mind getting into some specifics about what they have planned to try to beat the bear market or even multiple bear markets, how they're going to actually go about doing something differently. Because the way that one of the reasons why I came to Cosmos in the first place is because I was just watching these project tokens, not so much layer ones, but project tokens completely dilute the holders to bait people into these weird lockup periods where their founding team and investors can then dump the token into some hype. And I was like, you know what? These DEX tokens are trouble. Let me go to Cosmos, right? And that's kind of how I got here. So curious.
Look at you came here. Now you're like, fuck.
Now I'm like, it's the same shit as it was on Cardano and Solana. What the hell?
Yeah, but please do tell us about the network, man. I've been dying. I know you've been tagging myself in it. I remember following all the developments. And I don't want to bring up like bad juju, but what was happening with SifChain. And I know you guys kind of had your birth amongst that, and you guys have been working hard. Like you said, you're kind of doing your own thing now, but tell us more about the network if you don't mind.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, by the way. You kept them honest, and I've always respected that about you, that you are always trying to find the truth, right? And when we call out people for, you know, being bad actors or having, you know, behavior that's suspect or not supporting the community, that's what allows us to move forward. So a lot of us were kind of hurt by what happened over there. I think we're in a better place now because we know how to identify those threats going forward. So the first thing I'll say is that kind of having trust in a team, it really does at this point, I think, I think that the community is starting to demand that the teams be doxxed. So that's kind of a first starting point. It's unfortunate that we have to go there, but it really is. If we expect people to put real money into a project and really leave their liquidity there and have a high TVL, you know, you got to have a team that you can trust. You have to be able to verify them. So doxing is kind of an important part of it. But the other part of that is, you know, protecting the actual token holder through good token distributions or token tokenomics, if you will. So for us, the first thing that we identified as a decentralized exchange is a lot of projects are using their own chain token as the pool pair for liquidity. And with high inflation, all they're doing is basically accelerating the impermanent losses that a liquidity provider is experiencing. So, you know, our first thought was, well, that model is not successful because it dilutes the liquidity provider the minute they enter the pool. So we decided to use USDC. So we've been talking with Yelena over at Noble Chain, and, you know, we're going to start connecting with their testnet. And we're going
to
be the
first. Wait, I'm sorry. How the hell do you say her name?
Yelena.
Fuck, I can never say her name correctly, dude. Oh, I'm sorry. Go on.
I got it wrong the first time, too. So the thing that we found that was going to be a stabilizer, so to speak, right? Because the first part of, I guess, making this successful is to not make it unsuccessful, is to have a stable pool pair. So we're using USDC, and, you know, thankfully with Circle bringing USDC native via Noble, this is kind of what is going to make this sustainable. So the first part of sustainable DeFi is to figure out how to counter that inflationary force. So USDC, yes, it is inflationary because it's a real world asset that is inflationary, but at least it's a known inflation, right? So when somebody sees that the value of their USDC, you know, should stay stable, yes, it depegs every once in a while, they're at least going to know that side of their pool is going to be essentially a known quantity. So that was our first step in kind of designing the pools. The next step that we did was added, we're calling them molecules, but these are going to be ETF style, if you will. So you're going to be able to enter a pool with three or more assets. So let's say you want to be a liquidity provider for Ethereum, Atom, USDC, and then you could, you know, we could have a fourth one in there. And we'd have several of these options based on either market demand or based on community input or governance. So we think that's a great diversification tool, and that's an opportunity for people to kind of manage their risk, because I think that's really the next part of maturing this community. You know, as the community matures in DeFi, they're going to want different risk management options. So that's kind of another key part of how we designed the DEX. And then lastly, the big thing for us is, I know this comes up a lot, is how do you bring that new crypto user over from the Web2 world over to crypto? And for us, it's really about making the process of, you know, creating a wallet, making the process of coming over, the feel, the look, tooltips, instructions, documentation. It really should be so seamless that somebody can look at the dashboard and look at the app and be able to interact with it and know what they're doing. So we're focusing really, really hard on the premier user interface and user experience. And that's one of the things we're going to roll out over the next, I'd say 6 to 8 weeks. We're going to have the web app ready, and we're pretty excited to showcase it, because once it's out there, I think, you know, and we can put it out there for users to test, I think it's going to really, really help us make the product better. And that's our goal, right? Our goal here is to not pump a token, because you do not need to own any Ellis to participate on the DEX, because your pool pair is USDC. So that's our value proposition. Nobody ever has to own the token to use it. It's going to accept other tokens and gas fees, which I think a lot of other chains are doing as well. So we're really excited about that. I think that's the key. I think that's the key to basically, you know, getting to that next level of DeFi, that whole sustainable concept. How do you sustain? How do you protect the value of your token, reduce sell pressure, reduce dilution? And so we treat this exactly like we would a business, you know, not dilute our investors, not dilute our community, and attract liquidity. So that's our goal. I know it's a very lofty goal, but I think we can meet it.
Go ahead, Joe. By the way, before Joe goes, can Joe and I, either one, have a when you do roll out that information, could we have you guys on the show? Either one of us. It doesn't matter.
We'd love to be on the show with you guys. That would be fantastic. Thank you for the invite.
I have a quick question then about the layer one token. If you don't need it, what's going to be the benefit of holding it staking it to quote unquote secure the network, are fees distributed to the stakers in different currencies? How does that work?
Yes, so 65% of the revenue generated by the system will go to liquidity providers and 35% will go to stakers. And that's based on obviously the risk that each of those stakeholders takes. So that's the value proposition of owning the LS token. And with a maximum supply of 200 million, they're assured that there won't be any new minting. We did in our, all of our source, all of our code is open source. So you can actually go on GitHub and take a look at the modules we've created. We have a few custom modules that are kind of, you know, specific to our DEX, but we're also going to have a burn mechanism, which we successfully tested a few upgrades ago. Where eventually what we're looking to do is part of every transaction will actually have a burn. So we will eventually go to a deflationary concept, but that would be obviously well past, well past the initial stage. So we, maybe in the later mature stages, we'll turn on burning. And that would be obviously after we have governance that kind of authorizes that first. So that's the big thing for if somebody wants to hold the token, be a token holder, their value proposition is that actually the revenue share from the system itself.
Cool. So you're kind of using your layer one token the way that I would use an NFT to kind of identify specific wallets who are doing certain things in order to pay them out proportionately, from the revenues of the network, right?
Yeah, that's basically correct. So we identify who's a liquidity provider and who's a staker. And we pay them out on that formula. We divide the formula in 65-35, and we will pay them in USDC. So that's the other advantage. So we won't pay them in ELIS because we don't want to inflate ELIS. So we pay them in USDC. So we have a creative way of doing that, which is we use a reward token called Eden, which I know Eden also came up as a design recently in the Cosmos ecosystem, but we had registered that token several months ago. So it's kind of unfortunate there's another Eden out there. But that'll be the way we prevent ELIS itself from inflating. And that's all on our website as well. We have a little bit of information on that, and we'll have some documentation that goes over if you click on the documentation link, which we'll continually add to. You'll be able to see sort of how that works. We'll go into a little more detail also when the web app rolls out. So that's kind of the basic structure of how we'll do that. And then we also will have some membership tiers, which I think is a pretty exciting item on our roadmap. So for example, if you provide liquidity or if you hold a certain amount of liquidity on the DEX, there'll be maybe three or four membership tiers, and we're still designing what that'll look like. Let's say a bronze, a gold, silver, gold, platinum. Based on how much you have on the exchange or swap, you have a discount on your fees. So that's kind of nice because we do want to encourage higher liquidity. We want to encourage people to come and save money if they're making a very large swap. We don't want them to be put off by kind of higher fees. So we think that that's kind of it'll give us an advantage in the ecosystem. But again, that's probably further on down in the roadmap. The first thing we want to do is prove that our web app is a great experience. So I hope that everyone here gets a chance to come and check us out and actually just use it once it's out there, because the most important thing that you can give us is your feedback, right? Like buying the token, it doesn't help us if the web app itself is not a great product, right? We want to hear the truth. We want to hear how to make it better. And we want that good, honest feedback, because that is our key to success, not necessarily the token itself.
See, Joe, God, there's so much.
That's kind of not a question, but something that I see that I think is a huge challenge for app chains that are DEXs is that you'll have people voting on, things like incentives and pools who are not supplying liquidity to the DEX. They're staking the token, which is a different type of contributor, right? Almost like a passive contributor, whereas the LPers are taking tons of risk. I don't think people realize how much risk you're taking when you LP. And I'm just curious if you guys have a way to allow people to vote with LP tokens, similar to how Osmosis does superfluid staking, but kind of to balance that out, because I think the LPers don't get enough say, and then they're torn between staking tokens to vote versus LPing to yield farm or capitalize on the market. Has any thought been put into that?
It's That's an excellent question. It comes up in our discussions all the time with the team about how do we actually properly represent liquidity providers. It was the first step, you know, for us was to obviously lean the rewards to the LPers, right? So 65% to LP. But from a governance perspective, that is a big issue because the Cosmos SDK standard does not kind of address that. So there are custom module options that we can design. So we've talked to our developers and they say that it certainly can be done. The question is, how do we want to design it? So I've been tasked to create a DAO working group. And this is an area where I would love to get some feedback from the community here and anybody else who maybe listens to the recording afterwards. I'd love to come in and jump in and really build this thing on our Discord, right? We'd love to figure out the proper way to design this thing because I certainly don't have the right answers for this. And I don't think that, that we have a gold standard out there yet, although I think Osmosis is doing a pretty good job of getting there. And I will say Osmosis does a fantastic job and we highly respect the work that they do, right? Without them, we wouldn't even be here essentially having this discussion. So they're a pioneer. We believe we can be a pioneer and we believe that, we can coexist and actually have a healthy market because the more DEXs we have that are healthy with good liquidity, the better it is for really everybody involved. You know, we'll have a kind of a very, very healthy liquidity system. So absolutely, I would love to continue this conversation. This would actually be a really, really great, spaces on its own that we could go down and really just design it, right? Just make it graphically design it and get technical with it and then spec it out and give it to our developers to build the module.
And I wanted to say earlier, before Joe cut me the fuck off. No, I appreciate it, Joe. That was a really good question. We're not perma bears. We're not fucking the Joe left. Joe fucking left because I was just gonna say we're not perma bears, right? We're not, it's not a negative space or whatnot. There's so many interesting things actually happening, so many interesting teams building things like L, like Soy was with Neutron, our guys over there at Astro Vault doing their things, Kuji doing their things. There's a lot of really interesting people building, teams building, and a lot of synergies that actually could make a lot of sense. I was going to ask earlier, well, I don't want to ask prematurely. Maybe I'll just wait until we actually have that discussion. You guys do launch like all the information, but there's a lot of loops that can be made that I think will be beneficial throughout the ecosystem. We just got to really start, instead of, like Joe was saying, being the shield and taking all the fucking force and the brunt of all the action to all these bad actors, I want to call them bad actors, but poor decisions. We need to start acting as more swords in the space and saying enough is enough with this bullshit and really start funding and showing appreciation to the people who are building, whether it be profitable, at least worthwhile, ventures, like when it comes to their platforms and protocols. So shout out to you guys. Let's definitely do that. I see Joe came back after. Give him speaker. Did Joe get back to speak already? Yeah, he did.
Twitter wasn't letting me hear you. That's why I had to leave.
I see Timmy down there. Hey, since Timmy's down there, did you guys put any of your information on ICI? You guys should definitely do that, Ellis. Still saying you're wrong.
No, that's right, Ellis. Yeah, absolutely. We'll continue to kind of get our name out there. So with our first spaces tomorrow, we're still relatively new in the ecosystem. Obviously, we deliberately did not get out there and really market ourselves because we didn't want to show up without a product, so to speak. So our big thing is we want to essentially earn our credibility by actually showing you something that you can use. So our big thing is we want to get the web app out. We want to get it out for people to use. So we're aggressively in the design stage right now. We've hired some fantastic, fantastic developers. Really, really impressed with like the work that they do, how hard they've been working and just how they put their head down and they just keep going. We have some really incredible front end designers. You can see like the work that went into our website, they tried to really, really give it their all. And And then we have a designer that comes from had just left a publicly traded company, had just did a fantastic job with our overall branding. So we don't want to skip any steps. We want to make sure that we're putting the best product out there because if we skimp on those things, I think that it would allow us to skimp even more on other things in the future, and we don't want to cut corners. So we're moving a little bit slower, deliberately, you know, in that respect. But at the same time, yeah, you're going to start to see us get more active here on X. You're going to see us get more active. You know, we'd love to be on your shows for sure. You're going to see my face eventually, right? So I'll turn my camera on. So we'll be doxed. So you're going to know my name. You're going to know everything about us. And actually, I am doxed already. So if you go on LinkedIn, you're going to know who who I am. So just look up LS Network. So
It's not that bad being doxed. I'll tell you right now, everybody's all worried about it. Fuck those motherfuckers. I've been doxed forever, man. It's all good.
Absolutely. No, happy to do it. But that's key to credibility and transparency. You know, like I'm going to put my name on it because, hey, I'm going to use the DEX myself. My family's going to use the DEX and my friends are going to use the DEX, right? So I certainly don't want to anybody to be hurt by it. I want everybody to be really proud of it. And we want to be proud of it as well. And we can't be sure of that unless we get that feedback from everybody. So that's the key. I'm not going to tell anybody what's good for them. I would love for them to tell me what they think is good. I really want to listen more than I talk, and I know I've been talking a lot, but I really, really do. And I've really enjoyed this conversation. And I will say, I don't think you guys are bears at all. I think you guys are probably some of the most optimistic people I tune into your spaces quite a bit. And I got to say, I mean, you guys are champions of the Cosmos ecosystem. So it's an honor to be here. It's an honor to speak with you. I've enjoyed it. And I hope we can do this definitely regularly in the future.
For sure, man. For sure. But we do have, you might actually be speaking a little bit more. We do have Mayor and Timmy that stepped up here. Fellas, gentlemen, how's your afternoon going? Got any questions? Any comments? You guys can duke it out, whoever wants to go first.
Can you?
Yeah. My afternoon's going well. How about you, Mayor?
I'm doing well. Been enjoying the conversation, enjoying the Monday. And I don't have the best reception, but I've been listening. I'm just really curious, you know. I know, you know, we've gone on and on about, you know, some of the ails and just the, you know, the drag on, you know, a lot of the blockchains. I'm just waiting for the killer, I don't know, just the killer app or killer device or killer project that can just really get some of the low hanging fruit, you know, that something besides DeFi and NFT is just,
I'll tell you what it is, Mayor. Joe and I were talking about it earlier. It's when Adam, any entity in this space, actually allows the community pools to actually invest into real estate, real land, real market, like invest into real shit. That's what I want. That's the next proposal that's going up there. Can we actually start investing into fucking buildings, real estate, land, commercial, all that shit? Why the fuck aren't we venturing into web? You know what? Actually, let me just vent for a second. I actually really hate how we keep trying to like invent something new in Web 3. I'm air quoting right now. Web 3. Why the fuck are we not traveling back in time, like back to the future, and trying to go to Web 2 and getting the real money that's out there?
Girl, agree with you so much. Like, I think the biggest misunderstanding that happened at the early onset of crypto that has led to where we are now is people looked at Bitcoin as a totally new thing, as opposed to a new technology to exist, a time-tested system, money. Like, it's not reinventing money. It's bringing it back to its roots when things were based on gold with like limited supply. It's not reinventing the wheel. It's augmenting it and making it modern. But everyone, yeah, it's gone into this thing of everything has to be brand new. Like, none of the old stuff matters anymore. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I do. Preach on, brother. I like, look, guys, I'm going to put a little bit. I've been drinking a bit, so fuck it, but whatever. I've just signed today to purchase a penthouse condominium in downtown Nashville, like in the heart of Nashville, for $1,150,000. I will turn that bitch over profit, over profit, over profit, year after year, because it's the only condominium that you can short-term rent. Why the fuck do we not, as crypto people, like as community pool, like stakers and all this stuff, why the fuck are we not why don't we own a Cosmos building? Why the fuck don't we own a building?
Well, don't we have to get rid of the rugs before that happens? Like, the the whole point of like land registry and all that kind of stuff is that it's secure and it doesn't, it's not broken, is it? So, you know, do you make it better by bringing that kind of thing on chain? Like, I mean, I was actually listening to a Netflix space the other day, and Jacob was on there talking about Dig 2.0. So maybe it's coming quicker than you like.
Attaching assets to blockchain entities are two different things. In this case, then we'd actually have to have a real-world consensus attached to a hard asset, which would most likely be within the Colorado co-op under Article 15, which allows...
Nashville has it too. Tennessee has dues.
It does. It does. But as far as the flexibility, there's two states that go under the Article 15. Unfortunately, Tennessee does not go into it. It gives the product flexibility.
Colorado, though. I'll go Colorado all day long. I don't give a fuck.
Which means...
go Colorado.
You'd have to have entity in home state first before you extend it outward.
Well, but regardless, I think that this is the kind of stuff that I would much rather spend time banging my head against the wall trying to figure out than like this new fantasy fucking like ideals and stuff like that. Like, I get it. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be like, oh, fucking Web3. But like, come on, let's go to the stuff that has proven itself for decades, for generations, for lifetimes, and let's get this money. Like, I just don't understand it. And you're right, Sawyer. I don't know about you guys, but I'm done with the rugs. I've learned it long time ago. Like, I don't know why we have to keep learning this shit. Let's get rid of these motherfuckers right now. Go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say, I had a guy on my Twitter space. He's a realtor in Florida. He actually facilitated a tokenized building for crypto. He facilitated a transaction like that. And, we had him on the space. Of course, it didn't record, but I'll definitely have that guy back on for real world assets. It seems kind of straightforward if you're somewhat familiar with crypto, you know. Yeah. Basically, you're minting an NFT. You're putting all the, you know, pertinent information in the metadata, and you're just selling it. But and then the locality has to recognize that as the deed or, you know, ownership privileges for the holder of the NFT, right?
That kind of goes with what Mayor was talking about and so forth. I know, Mayor, that just like myself and everybody else is getting tired about hearing about NFTs within the spaces. But when we think of it, I mean, we've destroyed that terminology to where we don't even like to call them NFTs. But it means non-fungible tokenization, tokenizing something in a cryptographic form, which makes it crypto because it's an asset. But we don't understand this. You know, attaching data to a non-fungible token doesn't mean it's a photo. It has to have some form of data that's attached to something real world that can be executable in a dynamic effect. And I keep beating the dead horse when I talk in spaces and talk about a DX NFT, which is dynamic executables. But that is the problem that we have to solve. And what am I bullish right now is, what do we currently have for, a technology that we can offer these NFTs that's not just strictly, designated to one blockchain? And that's one of the things recently with the news coming up with Shingen Stars. I'm making Stargaze plausible for community builders to transfer their projects from one chain to the other.
I don't know about you. I'm not getting bored at all about the conversation when it comes to NFTs. Let's segue into, if you don't mind, I know a lot of people are going to lose a lot of people right now. Watch.
This is NFT Tame Nashville, Twitter. Tell me to shut the fuck up.
No, NFT Nashville. Like, obviously, like, I think NFTs, I agree with you 100%. I think we have stained the term NFTs in a bad way over the past couple of years, but it's time to take this shit back, right? Like, take it back to the essence, take it back to what it's supposed to be doing and providing our normal everyday to day lives and what they should be doing and facilitating in Web3 and Web2. These are the kind of conversations that we want to facilitate and that we want to highlight in regards to NFT Nashville. And we are putting on NFT Nashville on November 4th, my friends, which is not that far away. in the United States, obviously, and Nashville, right? Like, if you guys have ever wanted to come and really be part of an event, especially if you're a cosmonaut through and through, right? Like, I implore you, check out NFT Nashville, where tickets are going to become, actually, little alpha, Joe, I'm going to say this, fuck it. Tickets are going to be available for the public to buy tonight. We're going to be putting it out there tonight. There will be an announcement on the official Twitter handle. All of us that are on the team are going to be putting it out there. So be on the lookout for it. It's $80 a ticket. There's limited tickets. We have a fucking slew. Just a, I think, in my humble opinion, but I'm biased, a masterful lineup of speakers and sponsors for our event. And you're going to get to meet us. You're going to get to meet Joe, myself, and Timmy's going to be there. Fuck it, I'm going to guilt Mayor into it. Mayor Kit said she's going to drive the fucking, the trailer down there. You guys all better fucking be there. So let's pivot a little bit. Can we talk about NFT Nashville for a second, Joe?
That would be awesome. And before Ellis Network leaves, I'm sure we'll beg them to sponsor. But no, I'm just kidding. yeah, I mean, we should definitely talk about it, because one of the things that you kind of grazed on is the fact that NFTs to this point have been largely unimpressive. And I think it's the customer's fault for kind of these like really ridiculous collections on different chains with the mentality that they're going to hoard them and they're going to be worth money one day, or the mentality that they're going to flip them and they're going to look for another sucker to take them off their hands. NFTs have not been that impressive. And I say all the time, which pisses people off, we need better projects. We need better projects, but we need more sophisticated customers as well to kind of reward the creators of these better projects. And hopefully NFT Nashville is not going to be like, you know, just celebrating, you know, one use case of NFTs, which up until this point has just been really what? JPEGs, right?
It's basically been
art used as community identifiers, PFPs, and that's it. So hopefully we get a nice variety of speakers, and we do have a good variety of speakers. We're going to talk about the interoperable tech. We're going to talk about gaming, of course, all kinds of things. And NFT Nashville.
Hey, real quick, that's kind of one of the things I was hinting at about trying to find that killer application. It's like, yeah, we all know that the gaming, NFTs, profile pics, NFTs, but it's going to have to take small business people or just business minded people. And Tank, you've been banging this drum forever. To come up with something that's actually going to disrupt, you know, it's like what you guys are doing. Just NFTs would be perfect for ticketing. And I knew there was a project, I think on Terra, that was wanting to try to, you know, take on like Ticketmaster. But to me, that's just like the low hanging fruit. But it's the question is, how do you get that adoption to where most major, you know, places that hold events will start accepting NFTs instead of, you know, going through the traditional Ticketmaster and web 2 based companies. So and that's why, like, I'm excited just to hear you guys talk. But it's like, we got to start thinking outside the box and look for something that's going to disrupt, because, you know, the NFT gaming it's oversaturated. DeFi is oversaturated, but there are so many potential use cases that I believe, you know, tokenized real estate, there's projects that are doing that. And I think that's a great opportunity, but there's a lot of other ways to find something, ways to use this technology to disrupt Web 2 traditional Friday.
The most money ever made has been in real estate. So fucking, that's a huge market. But let's go down the line. Homestead, Kit, and then Joe.
Homestead had his hand up.
So I was just going to chime in with the doing stuff with NFTs, because Mayor mentioned, you know, ticketing for the conference, and you guys are doing that, right, with OmniFlix. And there's, you know, you could do like grassroots fundraising, right? Which Cosmos Ape Alliance, myself, and Tom from Cosmos Kiwis are going to put together an open edition mint for funding, helping fund the conference, right? Like the funds from that mint are going to you guys. So there you go. Like that's something you can do with these NFTs, and especially the open edition mint, like something that is the same thing. Sorry, that's, we're outside with the dogs. You know, like people wonder what you can keep doing with that open edition mint. Something small like that is a great example. You know where that you could extrapolate that to? Political donations, right? Like dark money and all that stuff, it's so easy to just donate $5, get an NFT from your favorite candidate, get your Trump face or whatever, right? And you've donated and you're on their register and like you feel like you've helped their campaign. Like, I don't know. That seems like a really easy way to kind of, you know, like I said, grassroots, oh, yeah, for sure. You know, fundraising and things like that. Like, I see it as a really, really good viable tool for that. So anyhow, thanks for letting me chime in. Thanks for listening to my idiots bark.
You know, Mayor, I know that this is a Cosmos space. There is current competitors currently against Ticketmaster built on Ethereum. There's a, it's called MetaFans. That's a Ethereum NFT project. Unfortunately, that's just basically your multi-pass proof of like a photo ID that is attached to you as a person. The biggest problem that a lot of these projects are coming across is not necessarily which chain, but it goes by the current regulatory's approval of what bylaws are associated to how data is interacting versus what entity is put on chain. In this case, we have, you know, issues with the SAC approving that is it legal to have a UID or a PID associated to the digital asset? And also, when we go into DeFi, we have, you know, your personal data is transparent to a certain degree, but it's attached to a wallet rather than the NFT. How can we make that NFT be your digital entity? How can we digitize a business entity into a subsidiary, that goes into what are protocols that are adopted universally through the NIST and the ISO, International Standards Organizations. So those are things that we've talked topically within these little spaces about our ecosystems, but we're not talking about the bigger picture here, where you want to have that one TPM, that, you know, trusted protocol module that will be the winner, you know, winner chicken dinner, but we need to actually have the bylaws written up and accepted.
Kate, you're such a dork. I want to have a drink with you when you come to NFT Nashville. You're such a nerd, but I actually love listening to you talk.
Sorry, I think ahead. In order to deal with all the laws and regulations, that it does need to be a solid business behind the idea, just using NFTs to facilitate and maybe reach a different, you know, user base. But yeah,
it's way more simple than this. It's way more simple. It's about addressable market. It's like, if you want to sell a ticket for something, you know, forget about anyone over the age of 60 attending your event if you're using NFTs, right? There's just absolutely no reason until we get to the point where crypto is actually accessible to everyone apart from like 0.001% of the population, you know, and until that changes, you're never ever going to get like mass adoption of a ticketing thing on chain. It's just not going to happen.
I understand. Wait, hold on. I'm cracking up
because any single time I see anybody over 60 going to any event for that ticket's needed, they're always like still walking up to will call and they're like,
you muted your mic.
No, I did it. Shut up.
All right. I'm going to say this, then Joe, and then I seen Ryan Lyon had his hand up. But so I completely understand. My point that I was trying to hit home was the liability associated to the project creators. Those entities would have to dox themselves in some form, not necessarily the people that own that particular project NFT, is that the association to who holds the data. That would make the project creators liable. So how can we address that to where everything is on chain and who actually owns the information? And how can that purchaser be entrusting and self-sovereign?
Because that's all fair enough, but like this is like, you know, next century's problems, isn't it? It's like to actually get to that point where we need to start worrying about this stuff, people actually have to be able to use crypto. It's that simple.
Oh yeah, you're going to need NFT integrations in like Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, or equivalents that do come up. You know, maybe Coinbase becomes an app like Venmo on the phone where people don't even realize they're using NFTs, yada yada yada. It becomes like their kind of like passport into all these different events and stores and whatnot. But for 60-year-old people and older to use it, it's going to have to be more similar to something that they're used to, something like, I don't know, like reward points at the sneaker store, or, you know, frequent flyer miles from JetBlue. If you're using NFTs, you're automatically cutting out all the people that basically have money in our society, which is like 45 and older.
You know who make a killing, by the way? I just want to say, you know who would make a killing off a program like that? Dunkin' fucking Donuts. Dunkin' Donuts would have me all day long buying a fucking NFT just if I got, oh my God, just give me some more fucking munchkins. Crypto Enthusiast, I'm sorry, Kit. Crypto Enthusiast been waiting. Go ahead.
Hey guys, great to talk to you. This has been an awesome space, by the way. I've really enjoyed listening to it, and some of the people in this room, great to hear like you speak, because I follow your content regularly. So thank you very much. But really enjoyed this NFT talk. I don't know if any of you have heard about what's going on at Luna at the minute with the Alliance. So the Alliance SDK module. So Ryan Lyon will perhaps be able to tell you more, but for anyone that participated in the Game of Alliance, they're going to be awarded an NFT that's going to have it's like a crackable NFT. So what will happen is a portion of the inflation will be directed to this NFT, and it will build over time until the person chooses to crack it. Now, I might be talking nonsense about the semantics about how it actually works, right? But what I'm hearing is, portion of inflation is going to be sent to a non-fungible asset from a chain in order to as an incentive for participating earlier. Now, let's draw upon that further. You know, you said about Stakecito asking for 40k from the CP and whether it's a good value or not. Well, Atom, I know they can't do it. Maybe I'm talking to Neutron here. If you had an Alliance SDK module in place, I know you haven't got inflation, so it's hard to say, but Luna could definitely do this. You could say to Stakecito, for example, we're going to give you a vesting token or something where you're going to get a portion of inflation for how many users you bring in. NFT, whatever you want to call it, right? It's just a token, right? And if you meet your demands, if you can continue to deliver, you continue to get that, and the community can vote on it, by the way, you can continue to get that inflation, right? And if that goes well, then you continue to get it, right? It's like a monetary policy for your chain. It doesn't have to be a lot. It can be like 0.001% of inflation because of how big your tokenomic space is. Obviously, you don't want to be giving people millions and millions of tokens. But I don't know, if it was 40K's worth or whatever, it's like a salary, if you like. If we expand that to other avenues, inflation is actually our greatest enemy and our greatest weapon. We could actually do things like this for any celebrity, individual, whatever you wanted to do, where you could say, right, you come and champion our project, and instead of giving you a salary up front, we'll continue to give you a portion of our tokenomics or whatever, however we want to do it. Maybe lock that up. I don't know. There's so many like DGM ways you can sort of spin this, but in essence, what I'm saying is NFTs, we're scratching the surface with it. And what they're doing with Luna at the minute with this Alliance, Game of Alliance, Ryan, I'll tell you more, Game of Alliance NFTs, where they're sort of this inflation that's being directed to them builds up over time, right? And some people will crack it early, and some people won't. But I don't know, it'll be the community's got to vote on how much inflation they're going to get. But yeah, it's just a sort of interesting dynamic the way I'm seeing it playing out in that space. And I know it's slightly different to what's going on in the Cosmos Hub. And I know that it's very difficult to actually get things put on the Cosmos Hub. But when we talk about NFTs, I'd love to see them on Neutron. I really would. I'd love to see White Whale DeFi on Neutron and a Grave Digger and everyone working together. But I know there is sort of what's the word? Maybe we've got people have got to see eye to eye more. Yeah, that was just my two cents. And just, you know, talking about like NFTs everywhere, I thought that that was quite an interesting thing that's going on in the cosmos at the minute. And maybe you'd want to hear about it.
Love it, man. Love it. Sorry, you've had your hand up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was just going to reply to Crypto Enthusiast there. Because it's like we do sort of have this in the cosmos, and there's like a very notable proposal by Notional that got sort of funded to, I don't know, maintain the hub tech from a tech perspective, and they got paid through like vested tokens over like X amount of years. And yeah, for sure, like this is one way of doing it. The fundamental problem of this is that you can't spend those tokens. You're always going to have to convert them back to USDC. Or whatever your native currency is that you actually spend. So when you're actually talking about paying for services, people aren't going to particularly want to take, you know, vested tokens. And it's like, I mean, if you actually talk to Ryan Lyon, I think I heard him talking the other day on a space about how he got given X amount of Luna and it's down like, I don't know, 60% since he got given it or something. And that can be, you know, a consequence of accepting those kind of deals, those kind of like vested deals. So it's a nice idea, and for sure, like if we can get away with paying people with vested tokens or from OTC deals, then for sure, like we should explore that. But you're probably going to find that people aren't going to accept them because they can't spend them.
Joe, or unless Crypto Enthusiast, you have something that you want to add on to that.
Oh, no. I think he's right. I think the difference with a vested token, I've said it's a vested token, didn't I? What vested tokens traditionally have meant is that you can't unlock them. What the vested token, I don't know if you've seen the Alliance staking contract that's gone live recently. It's a big fucking deal. If you haven't seen it, by the way, sorry to swear. Basically, you can lock up the whitelisted LSDs. I hope there's going to be more, but currently it's Whale, two Whale LSDs and Carbon. There's zero wrong bonding period, and the rewards are being released every day, right? They're being released every day. I've claimed like nearly 200, no, sorry, I'm getting about 35 Luna a day, right? For locking up my whale LSDs, I've got quite a few, and just claiming it, yeah? But I can take my whale out tomorrow. I can take my whale out right now while we're on this space. Now, people talk about economic velocity and like, but I think because they've got this contract, there's less of an impact of long-range attacks and stuff. That's what Ryan Lyon with the Liondale gets. They get a VT token staked to their validators. So what Sawyer was talking about there, about getting paid later, it's kind of what we do with validators in terms of commission and stuff, isn't it? Yeah, they pay their fees at the kind of at the end of the month and stuff. The VT tokens, they're constantly getting rewards themselves, but it's like the stake position is awaiting on the overall deposits into the contract. Well, that was my point with directing inflation using the Alliance SDK. You have the vesting token, but that vesting token, just holding it, gets you them daily rewards. So you don't have to wait. Well, I understand what Soy's saying. Wait for the total amount, yes. But you can get some of it, an emission, every day. You understand? Or
however long I get it. There's also like another like pretty killer blow to it, to be honest with you, though, in the every time you receive a token, it creates a taxable event. So like by sort of exploring these options for funding, you're basically signing up for an absolute accountancy nightmare versus just being paid in USDC. So again, like you're going to find various different spins on these sort of creative solutions, but ultimately, you know, anything that's coming from inflation, you're basically, you know, taking money from diluting the community pools or wherever these tokens are coming from, and all the various different problems that come along with that, like I say, about tax and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, it's creative and all that kind of stuff, but for me, it just doesn't really work until such point as people are actually spending the tokens that they're paid in.
But you sound like you're just
You sound like you're against the whole reason to hold a token in the first place. Then why am I holding Atom?
Why are you holding Atom?
I don't know. I'm trying to ask you. Like, I'm holding Atom to stake it, because if I don't stake it, my position is being diluted 20% or whatever it is.
But if you're holding AMP, shouldn't you know why? You shouldn't be asking someone.
No, my point was, he was saying that it causes taxable events and stuff. But the whole point of going into these projects is that if you hold Atom, then you can stake it, and you can build your portfolio up, because you've come into this DeFi space, you've staked your coin. I mean, I know you're Neutron, I know you're slightly different, right? But you are ICS. You know, one of the big things of ICS is that if I stake my Atom, I now get Stride and I now get Neutron. What are taxable events? I'm getting different tokens. So if that is the way we're going to make money in this space, if that's the way we're going to grow our position, right? Obviously, we want to LP and do all these different things, but I think we're all here for the same reason. And like, if we're all doing those things, then I don't see how Alliance and directing inflation to specific things that are going to benefit your blockchain. Because at the minute, anybody can stake on Atom. Anybody can, right? And anyone can, I don't know how to do it myself, but a lot of people can put up a CP proposal and put up a great grant of why they're deserving of these tokens, right? But it's a one-time event, isn't it? You either dish it out or you don't. Whereas, you know, I quite like Alliance, that we can kind of direct it as we choose. If it's working out, we can cut it. If you don't, and you know, we can do things like that, and you can do other things with it too. You can incentivize LPs, you can do loads of different things. So anyway, I'm bullish on Alliance, as you can tell, but what my point is that, yeah, just from an NFT perspective, I thought that was a kind of unique thing that I'd heard. And I heard you talking about stake CETO and giving 40k over as a lump sum, and how they want to try and bring 10k users a month to Atom. Well, how do you measure that? Well, let's give him an emission of inflation, and let's see how well he does. You know, let's not give him 40k up front for something like that. For that specifically, I know for something like building a protocol, then there can be, like, you know, project management timeframes, and you know, this is what we're going to deliver at this point, and that we can do that. That's what's happened on Omigaloo at the minute. We've given away quite a few 5 million grants, and they are vested, and there's a clawback if they don't deliver on what they've promised in a certain time frame. So, you know, different strokes for different folks. Different chains are doing different things. But I do want to say, no, congratulations, Soy, like Luna have deployed Warp on Astroport on Neutron. That's a great step as well. So, yeah, Warp is another one that is another lunar creation that's going under the radar a little bit, because I've seen some pretty interesting ideas coming forward with that as well.
Yeah, I've actually just been chatting to those guys today. Obviously, they had a few issues with the domain or whatever over the weekend, so we weren't quite sure if they were going to announce it. But yeah, they're going to announce to basically bring limit orders to Astroport or anything that builds on Neutron. And we're going to have a space with them on Friday. That should be announced in the next couple of days. So, yeah, looking forward to meeting those guys and talking to them on the space.
Noise, Joe, what you got, man?
I was just going to say that whoever figures out that issue of all the microtransactions from these various staking protocols that accrue rewards in multiple tokens, whoever figures that out should make a lot of money, because, you know, Soy's right, man. That trying to do the right thing and keep track of your transactions is a nightmare. I mean, I had like 900 Osmosis transactions last year, and I think like half of them were probably under $5. Like, what am I supposed to do, right? And I think what you could do, you could insert NFTs into that system where the NFT is accruing the staking rewards. And when the person wants their rewards, they literally just sell the whole NFT. And then you could have the protocol itself buy back NFTs periodically and burn them. And that would be your deflation mechanism to offset the inflation that basically fuels all these incentives to begin with. I think NFTs, you know, you would need the metadata to account for the rewards that have been accrued. Otherwise, the only other way to really do it is do it offline and just have like a counter, kind of like what ONFT does with those tokens. And when you want the tokens, you kind of, I don't know what the proper terminology is, but you cash out from the counter to where lump sum goes to your wallet, and then you could zip it over to a DEX, sell it, and then the taxable, it's two taxable events, I guess, but they're back to back, so it's a little easier to keep track of. But I think
NFT makes Joe, don't get too juicy with this conversation. Save it for NFT Nashville, damn it. This is all the things that we want to talk about with NFT Nashville.
Dude, I'm trying to get a job with Neutron and Alliance and Ellis Network right now. I'm too stupid to write grants. I gotta make money with ideas instead.
Apparently you and I are both too stupid to write grants, man. let's actually pivot back, guys. I love the conversation, but for the sake of time, I know we've been going for a long, long time, and I definitely could, because I have no wife here at the beach house for the night, for the next couple of nights. So I probably will be putting on a lot of spaces in the next couple of days. But Joe, let's bring it back real quick and let's close this out with a little bit of information on NFT Nashville. Tickets are going to be available for the public later on tonight. We'll be making out an announcement on the official Twitter handle and sharing it with everybody. Please do us a favor. We can only get the word out with all of you guys' help. Just even if you guys aren't going, if you would retweet it out, share it with people, because you never know, somebody might want to go. It might be right up their alley. And we could definitely use the support. All of this has been really grassroots, like bootstrapped on our own with the community. We have not asked for any community pool funds. Go ahead.
I was going to say, even if you don't like NFTs, but you can support the grassroots effort where, you know, there's four organizers taking zero salary, but also putting our own funds into this. Plus, we have all these sponsors.
There's your explanation. It's not just for NFT people. I'm going, you know.
Timmy hates
NFTs. Timmy hates NFTs. He hates all NFTs.
It's fun. I hate community.
No, but like just spreading the word will help us out a lot. Supporting some of those open edition mints that Homestead mentioned, there's going to be a lot of them. We would definitely appreciate it. And, you know, we are trying to make this worthwhile for the sponsors as well. So maybe pay attention to who's sponsoring. It's not who you would think necessarily. You know, there's a lot of validators sponsoring us. There's other content creators sponsoring us. So, you know, just.
Do you want to name them off? I don't have it in front of me right now, but. Do you want to name them off to let people kind of fucking know the lineup of sponsors?
Yeah, we got awesome sponsors, man. I mean, Stargaze and Omniflix came to bat when we didn't even have a conference. They basically allowed it to happen. Gelato, no questions asked, came in for the maximum sponsorship. Archway had two different projects come in at the maximum sponsorship. Game of Nodes, no questions asked, came through with the maximum sponsorship. I can't even name them all, man, but we got such good sponsors. And
yeah. Crypto Dungeon, we got ONFT. We've had several, like obviously Maneki Neko, Cosmos Spaces. Crypto Dungeon came in.
Did Leap Wallet send the sponsorship or not yet?
Leap Wallet never did get back to me.
I'll get at them again. They approached me, so I expect them to pay.
Yeah, we got Bad Kids as a well sponsor.
Oh yes.
Yeah, they'll be there as a speaker as well. Tons of people stepped up. Tons of people like on their own, and also who are connected to teams, validators, projects per se. My fucking phone's going crazy. I'm sorry if you guys hear that. Kato, Leap were supposed to be getting back to us some potential. Like I don't even if people have their opinions. Notional and Jacob was supposed. Hey Jacob, you hear this later. You're supposed to get back to me. You sent me something today that you were supposed to get back to me. Wanted to sponsor this. So like grassroots guys, no community pool fund. We're not taking profits for facilitating this at all. We're just trying to get the word out about what we're trying to do in this space. What Cosmos has done in the space. What projects have done throughout. Not just directly Cosmos stuff, but like, you know, the entire landscape in regards of NFTs and whatnot. So I don't know, guys. So we could use your support. It's in Nashville on November 4th. Really, really short flight from anywhere in the United States, cheap flight, direct flights. Nashville is, I'm a little biased, but it's a beautiful city. It's a beautiful state. Tennessee's like just fucking awesome in that regards. Lots of stuff to do. There's going to be side events along with a lot of activities during our event. We're going to stream it. It's going to be a lot of fun, guys. So if you guys have ever considered, or if you guys have ever held one of these NFTs, you guys just like the space, like one of us at all, consider coming. We would love to meet you guys. We'd love to, you know, show the entire ecosystem how things can be done in a more scalable, realistic, financially sustainable, maintainable, and responsible way. We're like, I don't know what else to say. We're really excited about doing it. And of course, come for the swag. We got a lot of fucking fun things lined up, not just swag, but oh God, Joe, I want to say it so bad. We got a lot of fun gems that we're going to drop on people in the next couple of months, man. Super, super fun stuff. Yeah, I left the room speechless.
Let's go.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. There you go. But yeah, if before we end out, does anybody else have anything they want to say before we do?
Hey, Tank, I just wanted to say thank you so much again for the time. I really enjoyed the setting. I think you guys touched on a lot of topics and I learned something about NFTs today. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? Soy, thank you for coming up here. Crypto Enthusiast, Homestead, everybody that came up here. Thank you guys so much. My co-host, Joe, I don't know where the fuck Joe go? Timmy, love all you guys to death. Every single one of you and all my haters as well. Love you too, fuckers. Anyway, I'm going to see you guys later. We're going to get out of here. Peace. Have a good night.
Thanks.
Later, guys.
Have a good one, everybody.
Thanks very much, guys. See you now.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known a politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lace, stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Eats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.